Peace embraces my world. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Peace embraces my world. Wherever I go, I find people very susceptible to unconditional love. I find people very susceptible to hugs, to smooches. I find people very susceptible to gentle words. I find people very susceptible to feeling a relaxed state of consciousness when I'm with them. Now, this doesn't happen by accident. I choose this to happen. I choose to have a relaxed state of attitude, state of consciousness, whatever. I choose to have a relaxed state, and I choose to be unconditionally loving, and I choose to be thoughtful and courteous and kind of the other people. Even though I know what they're going to finally ask me, I let them arrive at it with their own steam, because most people are coming for a healing of some sort, and a healing of attitudes or mind or body or for friends or what have you. But basically, it's a healing of their awareness of who they are. And so, as I work with people, I say, hey, you're all right. You're a good person. You're a beautiful person. And they say, well, how can you call me good when Jesus said, never call anyone good but God? Well, that's just what it is. You're God, so I call you good. Jesus was attempting to bring to the consciousness of the people at that time that they were all God. But he had to do it by a little roundabout way, because they didn't understand the straightforward way where he said, ye are gods. And so he said, you know, do not call any good except God. Meaning that if you call each other good, you're calling each other God. Well, what a beautiful, gentle way of approaching it, which is a way that blew their minds, I'm sure, because most of them thought that only there was a God outside of them. And unfortunately, you think that way too, because you are looking for somebody to do something to help you. You're looking for someone to take away your tensions, to take away your uptightness, to take away your feelings of everything's not going right in your world. You're looking for someone else to bring that about. Well, now, we have the opportunity to have peace that embraces our world. Peace embraces my world. That's my very attitude, my very life, my very way. And I'm just so relaxed and so at peaceful. That doesn't mean I'm unaware of how people feel and how they'd like to be at peace themselves, or be peace themselves. But it means that I'm not touched by the game they play. Many people play games. They play games of saying they want to walk the spiritual path more than anything in the world. That's the most beautiful and important thing that they could ever consider doing. And then the minute you say to them, okay, you can walk the spiritual path, but you're going to walk it alone. You're not going to walk it with anybody else, because if you include anybody else on your spiritual path, you will be limited to their level of consciousness. Now, not that their level may not be higher than yours, but it's not your level of where you are at this moment. If you bring your wife or your husband or your children or your pets, your dogs, your cats, your goldfish, if you bring any of the things that you have an affection for in your life and include them on your spiritual path, then you're going to limit yourself to how quickly they can walk. You're going to have to carry the goldfish, because you don't have water all the way along the path that you're walking, you know. And you're going to have to carry your baby who cannot crawl yet, you know. And how are you going to do these things? How are you going to handle it? What do we say for ourselves? Peace embraces my world. Let's begin to embrace our world with peace. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. The peace that passeth all understanding. A great book was written many years ago called Peace of Mind by Lieberschmidt, I believe. And it was a very powerful book for its time, and of course for any time. And all it did was to speak of the indwelling response that man has to his own peaceful self. When you have an illness, what's the first thing the doctor wants you to do? He wants you to calm down. He wants you to relax. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to let your body chemistry return to normal. Whenever you have an argument, what's the first thing the moderator and mediator in the argument does? He wants to, now just let's all get quiet for just a moment. Let's be at peace. Now, what is the real thing that we're talking about here? What is the real argument that we're having here? Well, they've done something that upsets you. Each of you have done something that's upset the other. Now, I don't need to know what that is that you've done that upsets your partner, but I do say, what have you done that made your partner happy? What have you done that brought smiles or even tears to their eyes of great joy? What have you done? Now, think about it. Think about what you have done. Now, this is enfolding your world with peace. Because when you do that, then you begin to look at each other, and that look comes back in your eye that brought you together in the first place. That's my man. That's my woman, you know. That's somebody very precious to me, very special to me. And all of a sudden you forget that you were arguing. Now, this is a negative, positive statement, but many people who have tremendous arguments in their married life would not want to live their married life without them. Now, they feel that the argument is necessary so that they can make up. And that if they will argue, then they can make up. And when they make up, they do it very lovey-dovey. And it's kind of wonderful for them. And so they say that that's okay. As long as it works out in that way, that's beautiful. And of course, that's one way of looking at it. But why not live in a state of unconditional love where you bless each moment that you're together, and any word that you speak to each other is spoken out of the greatest joy in the presence of yourself and the other, that you want to say everything beautiful and good and fantastic, you see? When you do that, then peace embraces your world, just as peace embraces my world. I look out at the people in my world sometimes, and they do silly things, and so I speak to them about these silly things, not that it bothers me at all, but I know that it bothers them, because it causes them to feel unrest. And if they feel unrest, then they're not comfortable with me. And so I bring things right out that they're thinking about or they're worried about, and they say, "What I will be about?" Well, don't argue it. I know what I'm doing. All you have to do is say, "Yeah, I was angry at you. Yes, I was pissed off at you. Yeah, I like to kick in a butt, you know. Yes, you were thoughtless, inconsiderate, and terrible to me." And I say, "Okay, now that's good. Now, did you like it?" "Well, I needed it, that's true." "Well, let's get you to the point where you don't need it. Because in my world, you already are perfect. In my world, you already are glorified. You are already a charisma that is so fabulous that you walk down the street and all the world kisses your foot." Because they're so joyous in your presence, you know. Now, can you imagine such a thing? Can you be embraced in peace? Peace embraces my world. Can you be in a condition where peace embraces your world? And to do that, you do not have one negative thought coming through your mind. How do you do that? Well, whenever it comes, you see it and pick up your fish hook. And when a positive thought comes along, then drop your fish hook down and catch the positive ones, you know. When the negative ones come along, just pick up your fish hook and don't catch it. You don't need to have it in your body, in your mind, in your affairs. And then, you know, you're in control. And don't think that it's something evil. Now, there are many fish in the sea. You do know that, don't you? There are many fish in the sea?
Yeah.
Ingeborg, you know that? Now, are you interested in catching all of the fish in the sea or certain ones? Do you go for the albacore? Do you go for the salmon? Do you go for the tuna? Do you go for the sailfish? Do you go for the special fish? What's that special fish you like so much? The moonfish or something?
Monkfish?
No. No.
Mahi-mahi
fish. Yeah, yeah. That's the one you like so much. Now, if mahi-mahi fish were running and then there was a shark coming along, would you want to catch the shark?
Mm-mm.
Not really. The shark is kind of tough. And, of course, the shark would bite your hook off, and the shark would, for its size, whether it's small or big, it puts up quite a fight. And the mahi-mahi just sort of flows into your net, and then into your boat, and then into your frying pan, you know.
And then into your mouth.
And into your mouth. It's perfect divide order. But you see, when you live in the attitude of peace, peace embraces my world, when peace embraces your world, you'll put out your hook, and the mahi-mahi will jump on your hook first thing and say, here I am. I've lived a long, happy life, and I grew up just to be chosen by you for your wonderful dinner. You know, as I look at the coyotes running around in the out country here, I think to myself, I wonder if they have said, I'm going to have rabbit for breakfast, or I'm going to have a squirrel, or, you know, whatever the creatures are that are out there. I'm going to have this or that. And then those creatures are available because that's what they put in their consciousness, you know? Really. And so, you know, they dine quite well. In fact, the coyotes around here, they're really not looking for anything of cats or dogs because they eat very well off of whatever they do catch. And, yeah, they're very healthy, a nice coat of hair, and they look very handsome, you know. So, you know, embrace yourself with peace. Peace embraces my world. And when your world is embraced with peace, you're at peace with everything. I get such a kick out of Pam Wangler. Every time we talk about the ranch, she says, rattlesnakes, rattlesnakes. Now, we've lived here 30 years, and I think we've seen maybe about 8 or 10 rattlesnakes in the entire time. In the entire time. And we're out walking around the grounds. We're out working the grounds. We're out doing all these things. And they aren't here. Because we tell them, go play off the grounds. You know, they can go anywhere in the BLM land or anywhere they want. But this is sacred ground. And the people who come here don't want to be disturbed. And they don't want to disturb them. Because, you see, unfortunately, the rattlesnake has a charisma for itself or a something for itself which says, kill. You know, you want to kill it. And you want to stop it from being around. But you have no idea how many rocks are around our property, which are not tight to the ground, under which the rattlesnakes have their babies. And when I was on the valley mountain, the ranch, what do we call it, of the 200 acres there, the Valley of the Seven Mountains, that was it. I'd walk up the big rock slab up the mountain of God Unlimited right behind the house. And when the season was there, the rattlesnakes would be doing their dance coming out from under the rocks. And they'd be dancing around, and they'd be getting married, and they'd be getting ready for having their children. And then, a little while later, out comes all these little white rattlesnakes. They look just like white worms, you know. And then later they take on color and change and so forth and so on. And they were just really gorgeous. And I always told them, I said, hey, that's your playground. I won't monkey around on it. And you don't monkey around on my playground down here. And they never had. They never did. It was really wonderful because peace embraces my world. And I embrace their world with peace too because nobody ever thought unkindly of them up on those rocks because most people never even saw them. And they were living in their community, in their world, happily. And we should too. Now, where is your world that you live in peacefully and harmoniously? You live in the world of your mind. And that's the only place you have secret, sacred, and totally always the same. So when you can think that in your mind is peace, in your mind is the fulfillment of every desire you could ever have. Like the man who wished he had a lobster and steak dinner, and he walked out his front door, and the neighbor lady called over and said, "Oh, Mr. Brown, can you come and enjoy dinner with me? My husband isn't able to make it. I built this big dinner just for him, and we can't let it go to waste." Well, Mr. Brown had been thinking about that very thing earlier in the day, thinking, "I would like a nice steak and lobster dinner," and he did not do any outward thing to make it happen. In fact, he did nothing outward to make it happen, except to walk out the door and meet Mrs. Jones, who said, "Come on in and eat." You see, when we have our consciousness so perfectly suited to these things, without panic, without how do we do it, without we got to work at it and make it happen, then it happens, and it happens very beautifully. And then peace indeed embraces our world, and success embraces our world, and happiness embraces our world. And we find that life is really wonderful because we live in a world which peace embraces. Live in that world which peace embraces today, and you and I will be neighbors. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.